The sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading. Know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. The words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The kingdom of God is near. And often we are apt to think, well, where is it? Because things really don't seem all that great in this world of ours. And we can get the kingdom of God confused with what we call a theology of glory. And that's what the 72 were close to doing when they reported back to Jesus in their excitement and joy. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. What did Jesus say to them? Jesus said to them, I have given you the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. The 72 were excited, especially given the fact that they were sent out with no provisions, no money, no food, no places to stay, heading out as heralds of Jesus, announcing that he would be coming to towns, that he would be coming to their city, he would be coming their way. Yet Jesus brings them back down from their feelings of exaltation, and he tells them where their true joy ought to be found. Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, said Jesus, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The same message goes out to us today. Where and what is the source of your joy and rejoicing? Is it in earthly things? Or is it that our names are written in heaven? Where and how is this that our names are written in heaven? We are to look to the places where the Holy Scripture points us to and tells us to look. We are to look at word and sacrament. God does not work apart from his appointed means, and his means are the word of God, his word, and the sacrament of holy baptism and the sacrament of the altar. Wrapped up in these are the confession and the absolution. Where God's word is found, there his church is to be found. And the kingdom of God is found there also. You are the baptized children of God. And in your baptism, your names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is, you were engraved, your names were engraved on the palms of Jesus Christ. You are one with him. You are an inheritor of eternal life. As such, we have now become the sent ones, commissioned to go out into the world and proclaim that the kingdom of God is now present. We look not to the abolishment of the ills of this world. That will be addressed in the second coming. We are to look now towards the mighty works of God in claiming souls for his kingdom. We ask God to help us see the kingdom because we're so used to the kingdom of God that we kind of go blind to it, that it's right near us. We're right smack dab in the middle of it, and we're so familiar with it that we don't notice it. We don't regularly pay attention to it. And I'm not saying we do that wickedly. It's just like a nick on the wall, you know, over here, or It's like the paint in your house or whatever. You don't notice the colors. You just become familiar with them. And that's how we are with the kingdom of God. We're very familiar with it. We ask God to help us see the kingdom of God. You see, in our text, the 72 were sent out into the world to proclaim the kingdom of God, to proclaim that the Messiah was in the world and that he is now present in his kingdom. But that was a dangerous proclamation. That for the kingdom of God is not a kingdom centered on self, right? And what is the human being, what is the fallen human being like to hear? Fallen human being likes to hear about self, likes to center everything on the self. When and the self is a raging false god. Now, when a town and a city or a state or a country reject the kingdom of God, the judgment of God will fall upon that kingdom, that town, that city, that nation. I tell you, said Jesus, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Sodom, with its sins, is a reputation of self over all. Self-abandonment, self-satisfaction, self-gratification, self-determination, self-indulgence, all of which leads to self-destruction. The 72 go out, and they go out with a cry of warning. The kingdom of heaven is near. And when it comes, those who have the God of self will scream out, self-worth! They will put up psychology as, or science as their apostles, and they will tear down morality. Then they will tear down the churches. Then they will tear down Christianity as a particular evil. For by its very nature, Christianity would have us turn away from self, turn outside of self, and turn our thoughts and actions towards our neighbor and towards our God. It would have us turn towards the cross and turn towards Christ. The state rebels with its will to power. It's why Jesus must ask, what is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Yet even the self-willed human can take the great virtue of love and twist it into a means of self-gratification. So it is, walking out into a world that is consumed by self, that the 72 are sent out like sheep among wolves. Jesus suggests that they will be rejected and they will suffer the consequences of announcing the presence of God among the kingdom of those who do not want it. And in such a case, it crushes them as the law, and the hearer will lash out. Right, have you ever told somebody something they didn't want to hear, but they needed to? Yeah, they're not always happy to hear those words. They're not always happy to hear those things. And so it is when the 72 go out, and even when we go out, and you go out amongst people who aren't looking for the kingdom of God, who in fact don't even want the kingdom of God, and you bring them the news of the kingdom of God, they don't want to hear that, and they lash out. The disciples' labor, the labor of the 72, will be shaped by a cross, and they will be sacrificial victims of the gospel that calls for the reversal of the world's values. Isn't that the same thing we face today? Speak to the world what the world doesn't hear, and the world will crucify you. Well, maybe not physically, but it will definitely excoriate you. Yet, those who do so will save their lives. For to save them, they must lose them for the kingdom of God. And they go forth in the knowledge of the hatred of the world, and they march on towards the kingdom. The 72 are bringing the kingdom of God to the people. The preaching, the healing, the casting out of demons, the miracles that they perform are there to show that the saving kingdom of God is present among the people. And even those who reject the 72, they still get the message of the kingdom. And it is a message of coming judgment. They still get to hear the words, "The kingdom of heaven is near to you." But it is now a word of judgment upon them. Still, to the believer, it is in a word and action that the end times are shown forth. Whether the disciples carry out a physical healing, or whether they are speaking the word of absolution, in the household of the elect, the believer finds joy and happiness in the message that the kingdom of God is near. Jesus' followers, these 72 disciples, they return to him, and they're rejoicing that even the demons are falling subject to them in Christ's name. I suspect that in our day, it is very likely that there is quite a bit of demonic activity going on in our world. It is very active, for sure. For as the faith in Christianity fades, people won't recognize false teachings for what they are, the doctrines of demons. They dabble in witchcraft. They seek to contact so-called ghosts. and they delight in pressing the boundaries of the paranormal, not understanding that they are consorting with demons and even inviting upon themselves the possibility of demonic possession. These demonic forces, they pester and they prod and they point and they cajole people into self-love, self-acceptance, and self-aggrandizement. The self remains supreme. Nonetheless, Jesus tells his disciples, "I am seeing Satan fall like lightning from the sky. The kingdom of God is at hand, and the kingdom of Satan is faltering." The idols of self are among believer and unbeliever alike. And the message goes out to both believer and unbeliever. The kingdom of God has come near to you. For the believing and the believing family, this is a message of consolation. This is a message of joy. This is a message of happiness. For it brings with it the forgiveness of sins and the reconciliation with God the Father. For the unbelieving family, the message is a message of judgment and a message of fear, often sparking more rebellion. And regardless of the ears and the hearts it falls upon, the preaching of the kingdom of God brings with it, and with the word of God, the kingdom of God is a present reality, and the dominion of Satan is already defeated. In the proclamation of the word, we find the presence of Christ to redeem the lost and the dying world. And we trust the word of Jesus Christ that says, "Whoever hears you, hears me. And whoever hears me, hears the one who sent me." Let us, we the body of Christ, here in Zion, Lincoln, look to find the kingdom in the places where Christ promised the kingdom to be, where the Lord said it would be. Let us find the kingdom of God in baptism. Let us find the kingdom of God in the confession and the absolution. Let us find the kingdom of God in the sacrament of the altar and in the preaching of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Let us not fear the power of our enemies, nor the wrath of the world, for we have this great message. The kingdom of God is at hand. Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds to the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.